You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. We well? Who's a little bit cold this morning? Anyone? Yes, we are not just endeavoring to save money on the utility bills here. Our heater is not in operation at the moment. It is coming. It is getting fixed. So just chill out just for a little bit of time. So I encourage you over the next few weeks, just bring a heat pack or something like that. Bring an extra layer as you come to church. You know, we've got, there's 400 or 500 little heaters in here as well, so that makes a difference. Big hello and welcome to those who've joined us online. I know there's a lot of people that are sick at the moment, got a little bit going around, but we thank you so much for making the effort and taking the time to join us for church. We thank God that He's not just here in the building, but He is where we are, and it's so exciting that we can join for church in so many different ways. So a big hello and welcome to all of you. It is great to do church family. I love church family. I love coming together for church. But most of all, we just love God. We love what Jesus is doing. We love coming and worshiping Him. He is our all. Let's just pray before we get into the Word. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your presence, for your Spirit. It is here with us right now. We thank you for the revelation that we've had through communion of your Son, Jesus, and what He has done for us out of, Lord God, your great love for each and every one of us. And so, Father, we open our lives, we open our hearts, we open our minds to you today. Father, that as we respond to you, that you would be glorified. As we respond in the way we shift our lives, as we respond in the different ways that we think, Lord God, that you would have your way in us. It is not you that needs to change when we see issues, Lord God. It is allowing you to continue to change us and see things through your eyes that we require. So have your way in us this day. Have your way through us as we leave, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Have anybody ever had the superpower conversation before, where you've gotten together and you said, all right, here's these superpowers, which one would you like? Which one would you go for? I remember having that. It'd be a bit harder to have it today because there are so many different superheroes, so many different superpowers. But back when I was growing up, it was a little bit more simple. I remember watching the 1978 classic Superman with Christopher Reeve. Does anyone remember that? Everyone remember that movie? Yeah? I got a photo of Christopher. There he is, this guy. Remember him? Man, that was the first superhero movie that I ever watched. And this guy, Superman, he kept it simple. He had these four basic things. He had superhuman strength and speed. He had the X-ray vision. You could see through things. He had the laser beam eyes. And then what was the last one that he had, the main one? Flight, right? Flight. That was the one I was always so keen on. If only I could be out there and fly. Is anyone with me on that? Like, has anyone have dreams about flying? Yeah, great fun. My favorite. But not only did I have a dream, but I actually had an experience. And when I was in about grade 5 or 6, my parents took myself and my brother up to Queensland, and we went to the Gold Coast, and we went to Movie World for the first time, first experience of a theme park. And they had this little experience that as you went there, you got to become like Superman. And I had this experience, and I've got a video. Would you like to see the video of me being Superman? All right, have a quick look at this. What an experience. How good was that? Myself and my brother, you get a 2-for-1 deal if you both be Superman at the same time. That made its way to VHS and then was put to a DVD, and then a phone was held up to record that so that we could see it. You could see it today. That's how old that thing is. I had that experience. But there's an alternate to that as well. There's two ways you can experience flight. One way is simulating it like that. Or the second, so pretty much you're standing there and you're looking up at the camera up there going like this. And the wind is blowing. There's a part in the video you didn't see where I'm just going, oh, oh, oh. I've never heard of Superman as he's flying. He's going, oh, oh. You know, but anyway, that was me. The second way today is if you've got a spare $700,000, you can do this on the screen. You can strap some wings to yourself and some rockets, or the next one, or this type of thing as well, $700,000, and you yourself can experience flight as well. You could have that feeling. But let's be honest, there isn't a pill that you can swallow. There isn't a genie that can grant us the wish of flight. And for all those who have a fear of flying, fear of planes or fear of heights, they would say amen to this statement that God didn't create us to be able to fly. Otherwise, we would be able to do that. But as we're going to look at, like, this a little bit of a fun way of looking at it, but we're going to look at this today and over the next few weeks, that there are actually supernatural abilities that God has given us. It's not flight and it's not X-ray vision, it's not these types of things, but really there are some supernatural abilities that God has given us. And we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Spirit. Now, this might have been something that you've heard about in church before, you've done a study on before, but are we seeing these actively worked out in the lives of the body of Christ and in our lives? And I want to ask you this question as we kick off. Do you know the supernatural ability or abilities that God has given you? Do you know it? Do you know them? If I was to come down to you today and put a microphone in front of you, would you be able to state what they are, what you think they might be? My hope is that at the end of these next few weeks that you'll be able to answer that question with an affirmative and a greater understanding of part of God's purpose in life for you. And I was encouraged as we heard Joyce share that tongue with us this morning, with that gift she's operating in, and Dave with that interpretation that we experience that we hear of that happening here in our church meetings, but it's much beyond that as well. That God has, and Matt said it as well, there is a purpose, an individual purpose that each one of us has. That God is doing a work in us and he wants to work through us. Let's start with this, and we're going to lay some ground rules for this. God's power. How much power does God have? Unlimited, infinite. There are no limits to God's power. He has power over all things, at all times, and in all ways. Job has this revelation in Job 42:2, and he says, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Isn't that an amazing thought, that no purpose of God's can be thwarted by anything or by anyone? And then in Daniel 2, verse 20 to 21, it says, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He is above all of that. I think about that in relation to there being studies on medical science, all these different things. There are a reason why we don't know a lot of things is because God simply hasn't revealed them to people yet, and he may never do that in some of those aspects. In saying that God is all-powerful, we use this word omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. But what comes out of that knowledge or that revelation is a question. What has God decided to do with that power? Obviously, the creation of the universe is one. It is a major part of that, including the creation of man himself, of man and woman, of us, humanity. But if God is the greatest power in the universe, how is that power administered? Through the Holy Spirit. And we read in Genesis that even that the Holy Spirit was there at the point of creation, floating above the waters. There is no one more powerful than him. Nothing compares to his power. And so we want to start this with a bit of pneumatology, a bit of theology of the Holy Spirit. Because we know you can hear the word Holy Spirit, you can understand a little bit, but we need to know a few things, that it's not it. When we refer to the Holy Spirit, we don't refer to him as an it. It's not it the Holy Spirit, is he the Holy Spirit? He is a person. He is God. He is one equal part of the triune God that we serve, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has been given as a helper. You write that down. He is a helper for the believer. In John 14, 26, Jesus says this, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And just as Jesus was the helper to the disciples when he was here walking the earth, today our helper is the Holy Spirit, again working with us and living beside us. In September last year, I preached a message on the Holy Spirit that if you would be helpful for you to go back and listen to. And we looked at this in more detail about who he is and his purpose. But in summary, we discussed this. We discovered that, number one, that he is with us, that he is walking with you, that he has been given by God as a gift to us, and he is here for every believer. The great news about this, that is, that you are never alone. And this is something that Cass and I, with our kids, constantly want to try and remind them of this fact. That guys, even though you might be by yourself, and even though you might feel lonely, you are never alone. Because God is always with you through his Holy Spirit who is here with you. Secondly, we discovered that he is also in us. John 14, 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That later that they're referring to there is given on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had ascended to heaven. You can read about that in Acts 2. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? With the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, the Bible says that he is the evidence that we are a child of God's. And as we've read, he helps us and reminds us of the truth of God's word, not just externally through others and reminding you of the truth through the church or through life groups, but also from within. And the third thing that we discovered is this, that he comes upon us. And numerous times in the Old Testament, we read of the Holy Spirit coming upon people for extraordinary works. And I love this image in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. And it says that the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. You might recognize or know this story where he gives special strength to Elijah. And Elijah, he tucks his cloak into his belt and he runs and he outruns the chariot and the horse to where they needed to go to. Absolutely booking it over about 30 kilometers is what they would believe. And so also in the New Testament, in Acts 6 and 7, you read about Stephen who was stoned to death for speaking the word of God after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we use that word, we hear that word a lot, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come upon people in a special way for a special moment. And fourth thing is this, that the Holy Spirit has been given firstly to save us, but also to sanctify us. His power at work in us is there at the point of salvation, bringing new life to us, and to sanctify us, which is to set us apart, to make us holy, to be more like Jesus. And if we were to stop there, understanding the power of the Holy Spirit for us to save us and to sanctify us, like that would be enough. That's enough. But he doesn't stop there, because his desire is that we would be filled with the Spirit, baptized, and then filled again and again. This is how important it is to the Christian, that if we were to consider today, and I was to give you the option of saying you could have Jesus walking with you in the flesh every day, he would be with you as your helper, or the Holy Spirit, this is strange to think about, or the Holy Spirit with you as he is today, that Jesus himself says, choose the Holy Spirit. He says, it is better that I go because then you will receive the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing it would be to have Jesus walking beside us, to sit physically at his feet, to learn from him. And yet, he says, hey, but the Holy Spirit, he's the one who's going to be working in you, and that is better for you right now. And this can be one of the most underestimated points in Christianity. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. The all-powerful God decided with that power to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, in us, and come upon us. The Holy Spirit makes our spirits come alive at salvation, and then he sanctifies us and fills us. And it's with that filling that we want to come to today to explain in part what it looks like with the supernatural gifts that he bestows upon believers. By the way, none of you are going to be flying out of here today. So the gifts of the Spirit. What we're going to do is we're going to open this up. We're going to look at them. We're going to understand who they're for. We're going to understand a little bit of what they are. And then we're going to lead into more depth of these gifts over the next couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says this. This is an underline at the start of this series type of sentence. 1 Corinthians 14, and then we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12 for the rest of the message. It says, let love be your highest goal. Exclamation mark. Underline it. Highlight that. If with everything that we're going to talk about with regard to spiritual gifts, remember that. Let love be your highest goal. But then he says this, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, and especially the ability to prophesy. And this should be our attitude towards this, that what God says we should desire, that we should desire. To live in the fullness and the abundance of the life God has for us, we must decide to walk in it. We must make the effort to understand, to accept, and to walk in the gifts that God has for each one of us. And so when it comes to gaining this understanding, we don't look for opinion, we don't look simply at experience, but we look to the Word of God for our theology. So 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 14. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, regarding your question. So they've asked these questions. They're wanting to dive into this a little bit more. The Greek word here for these special abilities is the word pneumatikos. Pneuma meaning breath or meaning spirit. We see that right throughout the New Testament. And this is where we get the word pneumatics, actually. Pneumatics, which is the engineering that makes use of gas or makes use of pressurized air. Pneumatics. Pneumatikos, the special abilities with their origin being the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit. And then he says this. Don't misunderstand this on the next slide. I don't want you to misunderstand this. This is one of those pay attention moments that Paul gives us. Make sure you have understanding in this area. Why? Because when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, people can sometimes be fearful of what it might look like. And fearful, I know it can feel like it's a bit of a strong word. You fear? Can we fear? What? People can be fearful of what that might look like if they open themselves up. Thinking this way, if I'm going to open myself up to the work and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my life, then there's the potential that I'm going to get weird. That you're going to find me saying weird things or doing weird things. And I don't want to get weird. I don't want to lose control. One of the greatest misconceptions about the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer is that they get out of control. And I can see why that is, because like anything that's applied either out of balance or to the extreme from the Word of God, it leads to a skewed version of the original intent of those things for us. And as I was thinking about things like, obviously, like sex is such a massive part of that as well. We look at something that God has given humanity as this blessing of intimacy for a husband and wife. And to look at what it has become in the world today, so far apart from God's original intent of this blessing for us. And sometimes you can hear or you can see or can you think of stories about where the gifts of the Spirit have been done in the same way. What is designed to be a blessing for us and for the body of Christ has now become this thing that is so far apart from what God's original intent was. Where they're abused. And if you ask the question, do people make mistakes in this area? The answer is absolutely yes, which is why we need to search our own hearts first. Search our own hearts as we open this up, test our hearts. But even though there are abuses and even though there are mistakes, the truth is that we are accepting a less than abundant version of life if we allow that to make us turn our backs on the use of the gifts in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. You should never be afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is saying, don't misunderstand this. I know where you've been. I know the different spiritual things that you've been involved in. Don't misunderstand it like this. Let's see what the truth is. Let's read on in verse 2. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. Here's a litmus test for you. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you say that Jesus is indeed your Lord, that is the case only because the Holy Spirit has given you this revelation. The old life is gone, the new life has come. And then in verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the, say it with me, same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. We notice so clearly in these verses that he's laboring on the fact that it is the same God that we serve. The origin of each of these gifts is the same. And what this does is it helps to cut through any of the comparisons. And we look at someone operating in this gift and someone operating in this gift, and we say, oh, I wish it was more like that, or I wish I had that, or whatever. We're all doing this. We're all here for the same purpose. And the gifts are here to glorify God and to work in the body of Christ. The same Spirit working for the same God. All right, so let's answer the question, who gets these abilities? Is it for all Christians? And why would he give us these abilities? Let's look at verse 7. Answers both of these. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So that we can help each other. Spiritual gifts are for everyone who is a believer. Every single one of us, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we have received the Holy Spirit, and he's given us one, two, maybe a blend of a few different gifts. And here's the great thing about that your gift mix is different than the person sitting next to you. Now, you might operate in the same area, but those different combinations are all together to make you unique in the way that you can respond to God and the way that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Only you can be you and fulfill that unique purpose in the body. Because as we read, their purpose is to serve the Lord and to help each other. All right, now let's read about the gifts themselves. Now, there's actually three main passages that I'm going to read now, but there's about six, or there's even more that talk about these spiritual gifts, these supernatural abilities given by the Spirit. So we're going to start in Romans 12, 6 to 8. We're going to read Ephesians 4, 11, and then we're going to get back to 1 Corinthians 12. So keep a finger in the page in 1 Corinthians 12, but let's start with Romans 12, 6 to 8. Says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. Okay, there's a bunch in there. We're going to come back to it. Ephesians 4:11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:8, we pick up where we left off. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. And as I read this, just think about yourself. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. Nope, let me go back one. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. CB, can you grab the amplified version of this, please, and just come up and read it in a sec? 1 Corinthians 12:8. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. We've heard that this morning. While another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. Again, we've heard that this morning. So exciting to hear the gifts of the Spirit at work in the service. CB, have you got the mic there? Grab that. And this is in the Amplified Version, starting from verse 8, reading on through to the end of verse 10. Thanks. Just go slowly.
To one is given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom, and to another the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit, and to another, the extraordinary gifts of healings by the one Spirit, and to another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, and to another, discernment of spirits, the ability to distinguish sound godly doctrine from the deceptive doctrine of man-made religious and cults, and to another, various kinds of unknown tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues.
Thanks, CB. That's in the Amplified. You can have a read of that later and read the whole passage in the Amplified. It pulls it out a little bit more. You can do some deeper study into that. But I know that's a lot to take in. And so who knows out of those few passages, and like I said, there are more, who knows their own spiritual gifts out of those? Does anyone? Yep. All right. Okay. All right. A few. I'll give you some survey results. So a survey was taken of a number of people within churches a number of years ago, and they said this, that 28% of people said that they didn't have any spiritual gifts. They responded, no, I actually don't have any. 20% said that they had spiritual gifts, but listed them as things like a sense of humor, or a singer, or I'm healthy, or I've got a job, or I've got a house, and that's my spiritual gift, or even clairvoyance as being a spiritual gift. So what that says to me is there's some lack of understanding, connection between what is a spiritual gift and what is not. Sense of humor. 15% further said that I don't even know what the spiritual gifts are, and I don't even know. The second question, and that's part of why we're doing this, why we're talking about this, because it is such great benefit to us, the body of Christ, and to us to know our purpose, part of our purpose in God in outworking these gifts in our lives. The second question was put to them, who has an outlet in their life to see these gifts of the Spirit at work being used? And 63% said they didn't know how to apply the biblical understanding of these spiritual gifts. And you might fall into that or not as well. And so it's one thing to know that you possess it, and it's another to know how to use it. Its purpose, which is to be a blessing to the body of Christ. We see that labored on a couple of times. Now, we're going to get through this in more depth in the next few weeks, like I've said. But I want to give you a list on the screen. Have a look again at the gift list, based on those three passages that we just read. And you can take a little snap of that if you'd like, or not, or you can have a look at them later. You can get on the live stream and check it out if you want. And like I've said a few times, this list is not exhaustive. It's not fully complete. And that's not the idea. It's just to come up with this complete list. Nor is the idea that you would look at that list and you would circle one of those and say, that's it. That's me. That's my one. That's the one I'm going to focus on. Or these two. Or these are my top three. That's not the idea that we do that, so that we then go and change the structure of our lives and angle ourselves fully in the direction so that we can operate in these gifts. That is not the idea behind this at all. Because ultimately, we need to remember this, ultimately it is our number one desire to worship Jesus. We have it on our walls there, worship the one, our theme for this year, but really the theme for our lives is to worship the one. Our focus is to worship God, to love him first, because from there and only from there can we apply these into our lives in the right order, in the right way, to make sure that we're not getting skewed, to make sure that we're not operating this in a way that God has not intended for us to operate, that brings blessing to him and brings blessing to the body of Christ. I heard someone talk about it in regard to the platform, because some of these gifts are platform-based gifts, whether it's a leader of a life group, whether it's a leader of another ministry aspect, or whether it's teaching or preaching here from the platform. And I heard someone talk about this, it resonated with me so well in what I've seen in others and see also for the potential in my own heart. And they treated this stage and they said, whenever I think about it and I look at it, I just know that this is potentially toxic. This is a toxic place to stand. Because even if I'm operating in this gift, there's something in my heart that might rise up. And this might become something more than what God has designed it to be. So God, continually humble me. God, continually just move in my heart. Give me correct motive. Give me correct understanding, Lord God, so that when I do this, I'm doing it for you, because I love you more than anything else. And as we enter into this and as we understand these gifts and their application in our lives, let us get the order right. Continually love God first. The truth is, when it comes to that list, and pop it up again just for a second, the truth is, if you have a look at that, the Holy Spirit in his wisdom can come upon any one of us to operate in any of these areas for a specific purpose, for a specific moment. And so for something like serving others, yeah, out of Romans 12, if you say, well, yeah, that's not my gift, so I'm just not going to serve at all. That's not the way. Nor when there is an opportunity or God is really like, sometimes you just know, right? The Holy Spirit is giving you an opportunity right now to serve someone. Nor do you say, well, it's not my gift, so I'm probably not going to do it as well as I can. If God is giving you the opportunity, God will empower you to fulfill that calling on your life in that specific moment. Okay? But this is how someone knows they've received a gift in part, is that there becomes an energizing and a refilling of the tanks when they operate in this area of their gifting. And Paul labors on that, like what I just said, keep the order right, keep the order right, keep the order right, worship, honor, and serve the Lord first, and out of that being a blessing, be a blessing to others as we use only what God has given us. All right, let's finish off. In verse 11, we've got a couple of different things to talk about. Verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. This is 1 Corinthians 12 again. He alone decides which gift each person should have. See, it's not about what you feel like. It's not about looking at that list and going, I wish this one. I wish for that one. This one, please. Or anything like that. It's not about wishing. It's not about feeling. It's not even about your upbringing. It's not even about your training. It's not even about your circumstances or any other external effect. Not that God might not be using those things to already strengthen you to reveal what your gift is, but it's only the Holy Spirit who gives and only the Holy Spirit who decides what we get. And now a couple of points of clarity for us. Number one is this, that spiritual gifts are not the same as spiritual fruit. We need to understand that. Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit that should be coming from every single believer as a result and as a proof of the Spirit of God at work in us and what he has done for us. We don't get to say, then I'm not going to experience joy today because I'm not gifted with it, right? I'm not going to experience this, or I'm not going to live this out because I'm not gifted. No, we all live with the fruit. We all live in the fruit. See, the fruit is the characteristics. Did I put this on a slide? I'm not sure. No, I didn't. Fruit is the characteristics, or what one is in the Lord, whereas the gifts are the capability, what one does in the Lord. Fruit, when it comes, it takes time for that fruit to come. As the Holy Spirit begins that work in us at that point of salvation, there is a change in your heart and a change in your motivation that fruit comes further as you move on down the path. Whereas gifts, you receive that immediately. The fruit is produced widely in all the body of Christ, yet gifts are bestowed and they are given selectively, each gift. So the first thing is that the gifts are not the same as fruit. Secondly is this, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talent. We've all experienced someone who's naturally talented at one thing or another or many things. Now, your natural talents are something you are born with. They are developed along with you in your God-given potential in that area. And whether it's a spiritual gift or a natural talent, who is the origin? Natural talent, spiritual gift, where's it come from? God, both of them. But unbelievers can also have an extreme skill attached to natural talent too, can't they? And here's the difference. The talent is given from birth, but honed by your environment. Whereas a gift comes from the new birth. It's further understood and developed as we operate in them. This is why no one here can say that you're not gifted, that you're not talented, because you don't believe that you're talented in something. And you might look around and you say, man, there is literally everything I do, there was someone close to me that does it so much better. And as we do that, we're like, oh, what's the point? What am I going to do with myself? Like, they're just so much better. They do it so much easier. And they can do that while they're doing five other things that are so much better than me as well. So what am I doing? But your spiritual gifts are not your born talents. Someone, yes, might be more talented in this area, but these gifts are for you and are unique. Your gift mix, unique to you. God has specifically and specially designed it just for you. So we need to let go. We need to now go and be a blessing to others. If God, we're going to read verse 12 to finish off. The human body has many parts. This is straight on. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. It's so exciting. So if God's created to be a foot, right? Like walk or jump. But if God has created you to be an ear, then listen. Don't jump. Can you imagine, like, I thought about this as I was, like, it would hurt. It wouldn't be good for you or the rest of your body. And so if God has created you to be that ear, then listen. Don't jump. Unity, sharing the same Spirit, using the different gifts for the benefit, not of ourselves, but of others. So in summary, first thing is this, gifts are given, they're not earned. Secondly, gifts are not the goal, but the gifts have a goal, which is the edification of the body. Thirdly, gifts are available to all believers. And fourthly, your gift mix is unique to you. On the last slide, I was doing a little bit of research on this, and there's a number of different gifts tests that you can do online. And I've got one that I've just put on the screen. There's a little QR code there, and we might actually do it next week or the week after. But you can scan that. You can go to that website, find it online again. But it just takes you through about 50 or 60 questions about you. And again, this is not gospel. I don't want you to go and say, all right, well, these are my gifts. These are the ones that it's highlighted for me. But when myself and when Cass did it, we looked at it and we're like, wow, that really makes sense. That's really cool. So it's a good exercise for you to go through. And on the website, it has a couple of other different gifts that we haven't spoken about today and gives an explanation in a little bit more, you know, in a paragraph about these divine abilities, these special gifts that God has given us. So let's go and let's pray and see what God wants to do in this space in us. Yeah, go, mate. Go. Come on up.
Just God gave me, I had a sense of a word earlier, and it was this. And he says, I have prepared a table for you. Come and eat at the table. And the picture he gave me was that you're not going to sit and eat at the table, now this for some, because you're not sure what you're going to get served up. But he's saying you need to come and sit and eat at the table, because what I give you will be good for you and good for others, and you will like it. But you've got to come and eat at the table. So it's time to come and eat at the table.
Thanks, mate. Thanks very much. Good stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, to believers in your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we go from this place today, hearing your word, we don't just want to hear, but we want to understand. We want to put into practice in our own lives. And Lord, as we desire to understand in greater detail the gifts that you have bestowed upon us and the application of our and outworking of those, Heavenly Father, we pray first and foremost that you would purify our hearts. Because, Lord, if you're not in it, we don't want it. Lord Jesus, you are our King and you are our Lord. Just before we go on, as I was praying this morning, in that portion where we talked about abuses of the gifts, misunderstandings, those types of things, I've seen it where people can become more about the operation of their gift and less about the growth of their own character and the holiness that they're walking in. And this is a caution for us that we don't get the order wrong on this. But God, as we ask you to purify our hearts, it's not just the purity towards our attitude about the gifts, Lord God, but it's the purity of our hearts when it comes to our relationship with you, our repentance from sin, of our declaration of your worthiness, and our desire to live lockstep with what your word says for us. And Father, for anybody who thinks that operating in the gifts is justification for living outside of the way that you have designed us to live, Lord, I pray that you would give revelation and correction to any of us, Lord God, that might be walking in that area. Because our heart's desire is you. At the same time, Lord, we thank you that your word is clear. And that to operate in this way is a blessing to the body of Christ. And so we ask, Lord God, as a church and as your people, that by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would move upon us. Lord, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Maddie.
First of all, I just feel so privileged and just so grateful to be able to share in communion with you like this. Team, if you can start handing out the elements, that would be fantastic. So, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching my kids in their cross country. They were doing the cross country down in the oval here. And as cross country goes, it was perfect weather. Those who are there knows what I'm talking about. Pouring with rain and puddles everywhere, lots of mud, you know, slippery slopes everywhere. And so I was watching my two kids and my little boy, it was his first cross country, so I had particular interest in how he was going to go. And of course, he had the toughest conditions. It was pouring with rain when the preppies were going. And I couldn't help but get so involved in this race. I was really involved. I was getting really excited for these kids. And especially as I watched, I was sort of shouting for them. I was really shouting for them. I was like, whoa, watch out that puddle. Get, you know, and I was really invested in their race. But you see, I know my kids very well. And I've known them since they were born, obviously. And I know when they're losing interest in the race. And they, especially the little guy, of course, he couldn't have planned for those conditions, but you could see halfway through he was losing interest in the race. He was sort of looking down, and at that stage he had the drowned rat look going, so fair enough. But at that stage I was really just cheering him on. You know, I was shouting, and sorry, Rick, I know Rick was standing next to me, Rick Gash, and I think I blew his ear off because I was shouting so loudly for my son. He knows turbo boost. Yes, that's right. So he knows exactly what I was shouting. And I would just shout to my son, you know, good job, buddy. You're doing well. Turbo boost. Keep going. Keep going. And suddenly that little fellow, you know, as in his state, he was looking down. He would start to look up because he heard my voice. And he knew my voice. And he would have a little bit more energy again, and he would speed up, and he would find his stride again, and he would, he had, in essence, what I think I was telling him, I hope he got this, but I was reminding him that someone is here that cares about your race. Someone is here who cares about your race, and I was reminding him he wasn't alone. Despite the conditions, seemed, and someone who loved him was going to be at the other side, at the finish line for him, waiting for him. And I hope you know where I'm going with this, because the writer of Hebrews compares the Christian race, or the Christian life, to a race. Nick preached on it not too long ago, but in Hebrews 12, we read, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I was struck by the fact that if I was getting so excited about watching my kids running in their primary school cross country, how much more is our perfect Heavenly Father, who knows our every hair on our head, right there encouraging us to keep going in our Christian race and wanting us to succeed in the mission that He's called us in our life to do. He is for us. We heard that this morning. He is for us. If we are His children today, He is for us every second of every day, not just in the good times. As we remember Jesus and His blood that was shed, communion is one of those times that God calls out to us, as I was calling to my son. He calls out to us in communion to keep running, keep our focus on the One who is the author and perfecter of our faith, and to keep going with our eyes fixed on Him, despite the situation of things around us. It's also a reminder of what He has saved us from, and that He is continuing to save us each day, and the cost that that rescue cost Him. Ephesians 2 reads, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked." And I'll skip down to verse 5. "But God..." How many times in Scripture do we see those two words together? Just unreal. But God, you know, something good's coming. But God. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So why do we do communion at this church so often? It might cross your mind. And I think it's such an important thing, because Have you ever noticed how quickly we do forget? We forget God's goodness. We forget God's faithfulness in our lives, especially when things get tough, especially in the tough times. And we're reminded to not be like the Israelites of old. They had just seen God's dramatic deliverance in their lives just moments before, when the plagues and the Passover and the splitting of the Red Sea. And they forgot the goodness of God in their lives, and that He is always good, not just in the good times. The Israelites suddenly could only remember all the things that they were missing from their past lives. They suddenly remembered these silly things like leeks and onions and garlics and pots of meat that they thought, wow, we are so unfortunate to not have these. And they forgot all about the fact that they were slaves. They were slaves. They'd been taken from slavery, and they'd had their sons killed by Pharaoh, and they forgot the whippings, all of that. And often it's the same with us, as I find for myself. Let us not forget, we were dead in our sins. Without the cross, we were dead in our sins. It's a reminder of where our true strength lies, and that should help humble us. David was speaking earlier, and we are strong, but in Christ. That's right. And that is our true strength. And that is the strength for this race that we need to run. It was never in ourselves. We could not save ourselves. Jesus is our salvation, our hope. He alone is our strength to keep going, even through the toughest of times. The problem is never that we are weak. God uses weak people all the time. Don't worry if you feel weak in your situation today, you feel helpless. God still will use you. He uses even more than that, the runt of the litter very often. He uses people like David, if you think about it, Mary, Gideon, the list goes on and on. He can use weak people all the time, and He does for His glory, because His strength can show through that. It's not that we are weak. It's often we don't realize just how weak we are apart from God. And the enemy loves to take us away from our source of strength. He loves us to forget our source of strength is Christ alone. He loves us to believe we are strong by ourselves, because then we are very weak. And this communion acts to remind us, where's our true strength lying? Paul writes in Corinthians, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power has been made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Communion reminds us that we must humble ourselves before God, who knows us completely. He knows that we are weak. And we must acknowledge that He is the strength of our life. And lastly, communion reminds us of the prize that awaits us at the finish line. You notice it's all about Jesus. He is the reason that we even started this race, even competing or running the race in the first place. It's Jesus. The strength for the race, the fuel for this race, it's Jesus. And the prize at the finish is Jesus. One day we will be home. We will cross the finish line, and there will be no more pain, heartbreak, no more depression, disease, discouragement, sickness, financial uncertainty, no more relationship strife, sleepless nights, anxious thoughts, no more cancer and suffering. In Revelation 21, it says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' Now this is the amazing hope that as believers in Christ we have today. And not just for one day when we leave this earth, but strength and hope for right now. One day we will see God face to face, and I want to run my race in a way that I hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And it's only possible because of the cross and Jesus' blood that's shed for you and shed for me. So let's get, once again, just let's get rid of everything that is holding us back in this race today and focus on Jesus. He made it possible to run our race well and in his strength. Let's take a minute now to just reflect on these things together, and you can take the elements in your own time, and I'll pray at the end. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, we give you the glory, and we remember that cost of our salvation. We take this chance to once again fix our eyes on you, on your Son Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. We thank you for your strength in our lives each and every day. Forgive us when we use our own strength and do things apart from you. We want to remember your faithfulness and your goodness in our lives up until now. And that gives us the confidence to keep going, not in our own strength, but in yours. Thank you for your blood, which was shed for us on our behalf, and your body given for us, that we might run our race in freedom and once again be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.